Our scripture reading for this morning comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. But when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is a word from the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For this I pray. Amen. I can still remember that sacred place. It's not a church, it's not a shrine, but there was a presence there that I will always cherish. It's my granddad's den. I still remember how it was laid out. He had taken his garage and converted it into his sanctuary. And I remember right where his desk was, the bookcase lined with all sorts of novels and historical books. It was his private sanctuary, his way, his place to get away. So, of course, that meant that whenever the grandkids came over, we invaded Granddad's den. I mean, I remember going in there, seeing him multiple times at his desk, poring over some book. And I remember it vividly. It was a book with no pictures, but Granddad was so intent in his study. "Hey, Granddad, what you reading?" I remember asking him one time. "A story." "Well, what story is that? Will you tell it to me?" "It's very exciting. You sure you want to hear it?" And of course, I did. I love stories. What little kid didn't want to hear their grandfather tell a story? Plus, my granddad, he was a great storyteller. And so he told me this exciting story, one I had never heard before, but it was thrilling. He was telling me about a man who was on a journey, traveling along the road. And this man was a trader. He had donkeys loaded up with all sorts of goods to trade. And he was on his way to the next town. All of his wares, all of his earthly goods were with him, ready to sell at market. Now, this should have been an easy trip. He had made the journey many times before, and usually lots of people were on the road with him, because on that particular road, there were all kinds of hidden dangers, especially when you weren't prepared to encounter them, because there were bandits, and there were wild beasts just waiting, hidden in the rocks and crevices of that road. Now, Granddad emphasized these bandits, the gleam, the evil gleam in their eyes, the sharpness of their swords, the foulness of their breath, their ruthlessness. They cared only for one thing: what they could take, what they could steal, and whom they could hurt. Well, they fell swiftly upon this man. They beat him within an inch of his life. They robbed him. They threw him down on the road, bruised, bloodied, naked, clinging to life, and left him there to die. But fortunately, help was on the way. I mean, remember, Jason, my granddad told me this road was well traveled. And sure enough, another man passed by. This man was a priest who walked the road. Surely he would stop and help. But the priest pretended not to see the man lying there. He quickly shifted to the other side of the road because he was late. He had an appointment. He had to get to the temple. He could not be bothered. So he passed on the other side. But no matter, a second man came along shortly thereafter, a Levite. Surely this man would help. But he too ignored the man, intent on his journey, crossing on the other side of the road to avoid the taint of death. A third man came and saw the man lying in the road. But this man stopped to assess what was going on. He tended to the man's wounds, pouring wine and binding them as best he could. He loaded this man onto a donkey and took him into the next town to recover and paid the innkeeper for his care. Now, the third man was a Samaritan. Now, I didn't know what a Samaritan was any more than at that age I knew what a priest or a Levite was. And so Granddad explained, the priest and the Levite were men of God. They served God. They had positions of authority and prosperity within the hierarchy of the community. They should have stopped to help, but they were too caught up within their own importance. The Samaritan was actually an enemy. He should have ignored the helpless man, but he didn't. He had compassion in his heart, and he stopped to help because he saw the wounded man as a child of God and because it was the right thing to do. And in that moment, in that story, I received one of my very first lessons in discipleship. Granddad invited me to see his faith, to see the relationship that he had with God, and explaining to me why Jesus told this story to the masses. Granddad's faith was very important to him. It defined really who he was. He believed fiercely in the blessings and the mercy and the grace that could be found in Jesus Christ. Through his faith, he knew the promise of salvation. And he knew that by not only by believing, but by sharing his faith, he would gain the kingdom of God. And so Granddad wanted me and his other grandchildren to have that same kind of deep, abiding relationship with God, with Christ, to know Christ as my Lord and Savior. And so Granddad discipled me. So I want you to think for a moment about that word, discipling. What does it mean to you? I mean, after all, we are part of the Christian church, parentheses, disciples of Christ. What is a disciple? The basic answer, it is a follower of Jesus of Nazareth. Someone who has made their confession of faith, that they believe in Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah, the Savior of us all. And as disciples, we are called to share God's love with the world. It is up to us, this generation of believers, to share Christ with the next. In other words, we are called to disciple. We are commanded by Jesus Christ to share our faith and to help others come to know the great love, grace, and mercy that is available in Christ. But we hesitate. We believe our faith to be intensely personal, that we are not eloquent enough to share what we believe. We think that we will trip over our words, that we would be unable to share it well, that others can do a far better job than we can. We are certain that we're not going to get it right, that somehow we're going to mess it up. We will push people away from Christ rather than bring them closer. We can see that even in the gospel message, in the disciples themselves. The Gospel of Matthew, it reads, "When they saw Jesus, they worshiped him, but some doubted." The disciples still didn't know what to do. Why did Jesus call them to meet on this particular mountain? It was in Galilee. It was back home. And this was a very uncertain time in their lives. Really, what is Jesus asking of them? What are we called to do? How are we supposed to move forward? How do we do this thing without Jesus? How do we go out and share something we don't even fully understand? Something that we were just learning about when you were ripped away from us. But in order to share something, in order to teach something, in order to build something, you have to learn. And you must learn it well. You must believe it to be true in the very core of your being, in your very bones. You become an expert by learning, by someone who knows what they're talking about, taking the time to teach you, to build you up, to give you the foundation, to allow you to learn, to grow, and to understand. My friends, someone cared about you enough to share their faith in God, Christ, and Spirit. Think for a moment on who that person was, who they were in your life. They would want you to share what you have learned with others. The thing is, we have to learn first, but then we need to experience that loving and merciful God for ourselves before we can share what we know with others. I mean, my favorite verse of Scripture points the way to this. It points the way to discipling others. Jesus was asked by an expert in the law, "What is the greatest of the commandments?" And Jesus said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." This, my friends, is discipling at its most basic. You are part of this church, of the church universal, because you love God. You love the Lord with every fiber of your being, and you understand God to be great, mighty, but also merciful and loving. And so we have to be able to put that into practice. We first have to develop our relationship with God. And we do that by making time to actively worship, But we also need to engage God with our whole being, giving all that we are, and most importantly, listening for God's call on our lives. Jesus reminds us that we must put our entire self into loving God, that there are no half measures in this, that we must take our faith seriously. We need to make it a priority. I mean, if we don't take our faith seriously, how can we hope to share it with others if we are not willing ourselves to learn about God, to love God to the fullest? How can we hope to do the same thing for others? So we cannot teach others how to love God if we do not know God's love ourselves, or if we don't love God. We must love God first to share the Lord with others. And so Jesus brought the disciples to that mountain in Galilee to give them the final instructions, to give them purpose, to tell them how to pass on their learnings. Jesus said it like this: "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." As disciples, we love God. We feel called to be a part of this faith, and part of it is sharing our faith with others. The neighbor as yourself, that sticky part of the great commandment. And so we disciple. We share Christ, and we teach God from a position of love. But it must begin with us. We make that conscious effort to allow God to enter into our hearts, to let God work on us, to shape our lives and lead us forward. We need to be receptive to God and how the Spirit is working within our lives. There's no right way to do it. It is our individual journey. So think for a moment, my friends. Think about the people who have discipled you. It may have been a grandparent, a teacher, a pastor, or a friend. I think about all the people who have discipled me along the way. My granddad was just one of many. My parents, a friend actually invited me to come to church. The youth sponsors, the professors in college and seminary. And then I, in turn, have discipled others, sharing the God that I love with my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And discipling is not easy, even for a pastor. Try teaching a pastor's class, because those kids ask really good questions. And I am the very first to admit that I do not have all of the answers. I struggle with sharing God in this world, sharing God's love when there is so much anger and hostility and injustice occurring. But I do what I can to help others see God in their lives, to see Christ at work, and to help them feel the Holy Spirit surrounding them. I have faith that God is present in all things, that there will be that gentle nudge pushing in the right direction for that person in need to feel that presence as they struggle to find their way, but knowing in their heart of hearts that God is truly with them. My friends, we are called to go forth, to make disciples of all nations, to share God with others. Tell others what God has done in your life. Describe those little God moments, the ones you may want to dismiss, but come to realize God was there just when I needed Him the most. We all know those moments. We've all had them. It's amazing when you realize it was truly a God moment. So heed Christ's words, my friends. When you leave this worship space, go out, go forth and disciple others. Share your love of Christ and why the church is so important to you. Share the call of the Lord on your life. Tell the stories that are on your heart. Tell the old, old story. Because you never know when you might find the one person that truly needs to hear that story of God's love, that personal experience that happened within your own life. Do not pass on the other side, but rather take a chance to share your story and disciple others. And if you're scared, if you're unsure, if you're certain you're going to fall flat on your face, remember Jesus' parting words, that He is with you always to the very end of the age. God is with you, my friends. Christ is with you. And Christ, God, and the Spirit will see us through as we walk the road of life. Amen.